Gregs, do you get Slurpees delivered to you when you host this show?
No.
Just Big Turks?
Yeah, I'm not a Slurpee guy, though. Big Turks, though, yeah. But, yeah.
I
do like a Slurpee about once a year.
Oh, my God. I wish I could only drink Slurpees once a year. As soon as, like, the weather gets above 3 degrees, I'm, like, into Max or 7-Eleven. Bad.
Yeah, they're good. I grew up on Slurpee, so I think I Slurpee myself out.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get to that by the time I'm 60. So, hey, what do you got going on today? Why am I here and you are not here?
Well, Dino, today is probably one of the more fun days I've had in a long time. We started the Gregor Foundation this year, and today was the first day of fittings. You know, I want a big thank you to all the listeners who donated suits, to all those listeners who helped when we raised some money to buy some of the smaller size suits, because a lot of the grads are 36s and 38s, and we didn't have a lot of those sizes. And today was day one of fittings, and we had a lot of high school guys come in who otherwise wouldn't have had a suit and wouldn't have gone to grad. And it was just really rewarding and at times almost overwhelming watching these guys get in their suit and tie, for many of them the first time ever, and they step in front of that mirror, and it's a pretty cool thing, I'll tell you. It was a lot of fun, and I got to give a big shout-out to Sterling from Dirks. He was there. He was our master fitter, measuring everything, you know, coordinating all the colors, so, you know, the guys looked like they were on the runway, and it was a lot of fun. We had Cheryl and Pat, two ladies who were helping out, doing all the measurements and stuff, and it was great. And, you know, these young boys were, you know, so appreciative, so I want to pass that on to everybody. Like, they genuinely were appreciative. A lot of them were like, we get to keep these. Like, they thought it was just, you know, a one-day thing. And I'm like, no, this is your suit. You keep it, you wear it, you can wear it every day. So it's a big thing. And I can tell anybody out there, guys, thank you. I think next year we'll open it up to some volunteers. I think if people can see kind of where their suits and where their money's going to, it makes it a lot more rewarding for sure.
Yeah. When you open it up that day and, you know, when you opened it up that you needed some more donations, it was a no-brainer for us, and I know for other people to help out. And I remember growing up and graduating – it was just for me, and thankfully I came from a family that was able to afford it. It was a no-brainer to be able to have a suit to graduate. And, you know, now when I was in television for many years, it was just I collected a number of suits. But you just do forget that suits can get very, very expensive, and there's a lot of people out there that just don't have the means to be able to afford one.
No, they don't. And you know, a lot of these kids come from, you know, some, you know, just tough backgrounds, and then in some cases, you know, one guy we had came in today. They drove an hour and a half from out of town. He's the oldest of 8 kids, and you know, they don't have the means. And his, you know, him and his mom were so thankful, and it was awesome. He was so jacked to see his suit, and he'd never worn a tie before, so it's pretty, you know, it's exciting to see people get that, you know, that really appreciative of it. And you know, it was an awesome day. It was a lot of fun. One of the best days I've had in a long time.
And can you imagine, like, if you've never put on a suit before, and then you get tailored up by the guys at Dirks, and you look at yourself in the mirror, like, you're going to feel like James Bond or something, how cool you would look.
See, and I'll tell you, there was one moment today, and geez, even thinking about it, I get a little teary-eyed. It was, there was this little guy, Shane, who has muscular dystrophy, and so obviously he's had some struggles. And so he came in, and he's got his cane, and he was excited. So we get him in his suit, and he came out of the change room, and he walked in front of the mirror, and he didn't say anything. He just looked at himself. And, oh,
wow.
It was honestly one of the coolest things I'd seen. He was genuinely excited. I was just like, oh. I looked at Sterling and everybody else. I kind of had to turn around because they didn't want him to see me all weeping up here. I don't know why I was, but it was it was awesome, actually. It was so cool to see that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And good on you guys, and good on Dirks and everybody for helping out and volunteering. And you know what? If you do open it up next year for volunteers, you're going to get an outpouring of support for that for sure. There's a bunch of other guys that are in suits today that are on a panel. I don't think they look as good as the kids that you had down there, but they're talking about a bunch of trades today. I had Sandy and Unziata on, and I asked him if the Red Blacks, if he thought they were going to make a trade. He said there was no chance, and about 20 minutes later, they did make a trade, trading away their first-round pick. And then the Eskimos, they go out and make their first-round pick. They get Toronto's first and second pick, second round pick, 6th and 15th overall. They get Tony Washington, an offensive lineman. They get import defensive back Otha Foster and negotiation list player in exchange for the first and third round picks in the 2014 draft. Did that surprise you that they didn't keep their pick?
No, not at all. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. I was talking to Michaud that because the Eskimos needed help in the offensive line. That was the one area in this draft. You know, they weren't going to take Duvernay-Tardif because he just got drafted into the NFL. Foucault is another guy who's with Carolina. You're not going to waste the number three overall pick on guys who might never come here. I don't think there's any chance Tardif. This guy's a legit NFLer. And Foucault is, you know, a guy who's probably, at very worst, is a practice roster player for two or three or four years in the NFL. So I mentioned it yesterday that if Labertu, the two guys who went first and second, if they were gone, the Eskimos were going to trade that pick and trade down because they didn't have a second rounder from the Mike Riley trade. I'm not surprised by that at all. It seems like a lot that they got in return, getting Toronto's first and then the second and then, an offense. Now, Washington's an import, is he not?
I will have to look at, yes.
Yeah, I think he's an import O-lineman.
Yes,
so,
he is.
And so import O-linemen aren't necessarily worth a lot because there's so many of them out there, but
right.
He does have CFL experience, and so that'll help them. And then, Ed Hervey talked about it. He hasn't hidden the fact that the one area he needs to improve on his team is his offensive line. And so you weren't going to take the other offensive lineman they could take probably at number six if they want, because it won't be much of a stretch, but you couldn't take him at number three. I just don't think he was worth a number three. So
yeah.
It's a smart trade for the Eskimos. I think, to move down from three to six, they could take an O-lineman there and probably feel a little bit more comfortable.
And I'm surprised that Anthony Coombs, the running back from Manitoba, has already gone off the board going at number three. And I'm surprised that he went as high as he was. I thought we were going to see, or maybe he went number four. I'm not sure. But I thought we were going to see a run of big offensive linemen going already.
Well, there really isn't any. Like, there was four really good ones, but the two guys with the NFL, right? And so then there's the drop-off. You've got some D linemen who are ranked the safety. I'm not sure if he's gone yet or not. But, Coombs, the thing about it is, we've seen a lot more Canadian running backs. And I think that it's like anything. At times, sports is a little bit of a copycat league. You look at BC and Harris. You've got John Cornish. Two of the best running backs in the CFL are Canadian.
Right.
I think a lot of them are realizing that, like Coombs is a hell of a player. And, he's somebody who, given an opportunity, maybe not this year per se, but if you can get a running back who's a Canadian, that's a huge ratio change. Or it used to just be receivers. Now, you have every receiving corps in the league usually has two Canadians. And in a lot of cases, sometimes, two starting Canadians. Not necessarily just one and then you're number five. And I think you're going to see more and more Canadian running backs. We're getting better at the skilled positions. And that's good, I think, for kids who wanted to play football at the pro level. If you were a running back, it felt like, well, okay, I can maybe play special teams. But now I have a chance. If I go CIS and I dominate or I go NCAA, I can be a Canadian running back in the CFL. That's huge for us.
Yeah, Coombs went third to Toronto, so they trade up with Edmonton, and then they obviously had their eye on a guy. Would you take a chance on Quinn Smith, the guy who tested positive for a banned substance at the Combine?
You know what? I think teams will, because when he tested, he wasn't in the CFL, right? And so there's kind of that gray area. He's not going to be suspended because he wasn't a CFL player when
right.
It happened. Now, a team, if they wanted to send a message, could say, hey, we've suspended him for a game ourselves to appease people potentially. But, he's a player, right? Now, he's taking steroids. The unfortunate part about steroids is, it hangs over the head of you for a while, but if you elect not to take them in the future, or if you take them again, I don't know how many people truly deep down really care about it at the end of the day. It's one of those, the guy took steroids, right? But, Andy Pettit's the prime example, Dino. This guy's in the major leagues of baseball. He comes out, I took it. People move on, right?
Right.
I think if Quinn comes out and admits, hey, I'm dumb. I shouldn't have taken it. I won't take it again. Most people will forgive it and move on from it. But as a player, he's a heck of a player. Now, is he that good of a player because of steroids?
Right.
He's always going to have to prove that, right? And so, you talk to so many athletes, and they say steroids can make you maybe go from A to A+. They can't make you be a C player who becomes an A player. Right, so I think the guy's probably still good enough. He's just maybe not smart enough to realize that you don't need steroids.
Yeah, exactly. That's the question people and GMs in the CFL are wondering, is that is there going to be a drop off if this guy is not on steroids, and there's not going to be a big enough drop off where he probably can't make your team anymore.
Yeah, and the other harsh reality about drug testing is people know when they're going to get tested. If he wants, he can go on a cycle for 3 months in the off season, train hard, then go off of it and play the whole year and never be tested and be tested and never fail. Right. So there's always ways around, unless your drug testing is going to be consistent year round. There's always going to be ways. If somebody wants to cheat, they can find a way to cheat.
Yeah. Rangers are up 1-0 in game 7 against Pittsburgh. Who do you like in that one?
Well, start of the playoffs, I picked the Rangers, so I'll stick with them. But I actually, you know, in this series, it looked like it was going to be all Pittsburgh. But, you know, in a one game off, right now, you'd probably take Lundqvist over Fleury.
Yep.
And even though there's Crosby and Malkin, you know, Crosby, I don't know if he's banged up. He clearly hasn't played the way he has. But, you know, Malkin's still a guy that's pretty dangerous. And I know, I'll stick with the Rangers because that's who I picked at the start. But I won't be surprised if Pittsburgh finds a way to win at home. If they don't, man, there's got to be some major changes coming in Pittsburgh. That's a team that, you know, for all the good players they have, you know, they likely would think that they should be farther along than where they've been the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, yeah, Josh Yohe said if they lose, then it's pretty much assured Dan Bylsma's not there. And I go with the philosophy, the same exact philosophy and the same reason I went with the Oil Kings last night. You go with the better goalie. And even though Marc-Andre Fleury has been good in this series, Henrik Lundqvist owns a .75 goals against average and a .975 save percentage in his last four game seven victories, and he's 4-0. So you go with that. Last one for you, and then we'll let you go. But what a gutsy effort by those Oil Kings last night, bucking the trend that the visiting team can't win on the road in Game 7, and now they're off to London.
History-making performance by the Oil Kings. I watched the entire game. I listened to the last 5 minutes with Corey Graham, whose calls just get better as the playoffs go along. So if you haven't listened in, you should definitely listen to Corey on the weekend for the Memorial Cup and into next week. But, man, the Oil Kings, Tristan Jarry made some huge saves, but, man, Curtis Lazar was huge. Samuelson was big in that game. Griffin Reinhart, I was a little surprised he was the MVP of the series. I thought he was great. I probably would have chosen Lazar. But the thing about Griffin Reinhart is he's just so big and strong, he controls the whole play when he's on the ice. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be a flashy NHL defenseman, Guy, but I think he's going to be one of those guys that, given some time, once his foot speed gets NHL worthy, I think he's going to be one of those big, strong, safe defensemen that plays in your top three and really helps you and could be a shutdown guy and maybe bring a little bit more offense as he goes along. But, you know, the Oil Kings, their best players last night were better than Portland's best players. And then, you know, Mads Eller, the other thing, that the third line of the Oil Kings, I know they didn't score a ton, but man, I thought when they were on the ice, they were difference makers.
Yeah, they're great checkers, and Riley Keyser might be one of the best faceoff men in the entire WHL. So he's out there every time they need a key faceoff. Greg's awesome to chat with you. Great stuff today with the Greger Foundation. I know you made a lot of people happy and created a lot of smiles and a lot of great lifetime memories, and you'll be back in the big chair tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for filling in, Dino. Appreciate it. Once again, a huge thanks to all the guys who donated their suits. I can tell you made a lot of kids' days. It was an awesome day.